On Life Matters in recent weeks, we've been exploring some of the attitudes that people with disabilities can face, especially when they're entering or in relationships. Physical, emotional and social challenges all feature, as we've heard from people who are looking for love in an ableist world, or if they're partnered up with someone who doesn't have a disability or doesn't appear to. But what's it like when you're partnered with someone who also has a disability? Does it double the challenges? Or does it make for greater understanding and acceptance and the ability to laugh off some of those challenges? This is the final episode in the new series on disability and relationships by producer Eliza Hull, who is herself a person with a disability, a neurological condition known as Charcot-Marie-Tooth disorder.
I'm in the western suburbs of Melbourne, where I've come to visit couple Ricky Anya and Michael McNeil. The house smells of freshly cooked pasta that Ricky has made.
And how do you normally cook?
One of Ricky's passions is cooking, and she loves to cook for Michael.
Hi, my name is Ricky. I am reluctantly 41, not by choice.
Both Ricky and Michael have a disability. Ricky has a vision impairment, Turner's syndrome, and a cognitive deficit due to a brain injury at birth.
Okay, so hi, I'm Michael. I also have a disability. So my disability is Asperger's syndrome, which takes into account my brain. I also got a physical disability, that's cerebral palsy.
Ricky and Michael met in 2011 at a disability council event, but it wasn't until a year later that they fell in love.
We chatted on the phone and I said to Michael, no, we don't go into a relationship over the phone. I said, we're going to organise a date and do this face to face. So we went on a date to the Anglers Tavern on Remembrance Day 2012. And that was when we told our families officially, yep.
They reflect on what they love about each other.
He always puts himself second, everybody else first. The banter, the humour, the way we bounce off each other, have our own little games and silliness.
It's someone to do stuff with. I do like my alone time, just for me. Ricky still has issues with that.
Did you believe that you'd find love and that you'd be in a relationship?
Not really, because I that would come from my own head. I'm thinking, well, you know, I've got this, I've got that, and you know, who would want me in the end?
Whilst it can be internal belief systems that make people with disabilities feel at times unworthy of love, it's also what happens in society.
But the barriers are probably more in the wider world where employment opportunities and financial barriers come into play.
And does that put pressure on your relationship?
Absolutely. I really strongly believe that although anybody in any situation has to budget and monitor their money and make choices and sacrifices, it's definitely harder for people like us who have even a lesser income and have to restrict our choices even more when at the end of the day all we want to do is just normal things in the community that anybody else does.
Ricky has also faced barriers from her family.
Yeah, my mum and dad said that I certainly wouldn't be meeting anyone who would want to be with me of any value, like it would certainly be, for lack of a better word, you know, a very underprivileged very dopey, crappy person if I was to end up, you know, selling myself short for someone. But luckily I haven't had to sell myself short at all. But another thing my parents always said, and reluctantly this has actually come true, because I, as a late teenager, early 20s, found out I had a genetic condition where I wouldn't be able to have kids anyway. And mum and dad, you know, they would never be those kind of people who would get your tubes tied and stuff like that. But they certainly advised me very, very strongly not to have kids. There is no way known I should be having kids. And to this day, I think they think it's a blessing, the fact that I can't.
Michael believes people fear difference because of lack of understanding.
We've had people look at us, sort of stare at us a bit, which we don't really like. There's a lot of people who don't know. There's a lot of people out in the world who don't know about disabilities. They probably want to ask us, but they're too afraid to ask us. I think that's the one of the major issues in the community workplace sort of space.
What do you want to tell those people and teach those people?
That it's okay to ask. Obviously, you've got to have the right person at the right time. People ask me about my disability and I explain it to them. And they're like, well, how do you actually operate? I said, with great difficulty, but I get through.
What do you think are the greatest challenges of having a disability and being in love?
I think it's just a matter of accepting each other for who they are and their own challenges within themselves, and being really supportive in that. I've got my own challenges with my own disabilities that I contend with day in and day out, and at stages that gets the better of me.
But both of them having a disability benefits their relationship too.
Being disabled myself, I get to know about a lot more disabilities than what I would normally. How to live with somebody with a vision impairment, and what and the requirements that Ricky needs when we go out, to make her safe, to do what I need to do. So I'm always thinking about that as well. So I don't just think about myself.
Dude, and I think you kind of understand how precious every life is and the value that everybody has to contribute, and not to judge people because they're different.
Ricky feels society still has a long way to go in recognising people with disabilities as needing intimate relationships.
People with disabilities do have cognitive ability to be able to understand social skills and relationships with, and have relationships with other people. Like, it's not like, you know, like we do know how to relate to other people. You shouldn't be ashamed of who you are. We're just human just as much as anybody else.
I'm now in the northern suburbs of Melbourne, where I've come to speak to another couple.
Hi.
Hi, how are you going?
My name's Janice Florence, and I work part-time at Arts Access Victoria, which is a disability arts organisation, and I also am the artistic director of Weave Movement Theatre, which is a physical theatre company of people with disabilities.
Hi, I'm Trevor Dunn. I'm working part-time at the Art Life program at Footscray Community Arts Centre, and I'm also a performer with Weave Movement Theatre.
20 years ago, they met during a disability dance workshop that Janice was teaching. Both have a love for the performing arts and are currently in a new theatre show.
That's right. I looked at it for a short time last night and then started throwing.
They are reading through their notes from their director ahead of their show tonight.
She said we'd be able to have a rehearsal before before the show. So
Trevor and Janice both have physical disabilities.
I'm paraplegic. I have a spinal cord injury. I've had it for about 30 years now. I'm a wheelchair user, and I operate fairly independently.
The nature of my disability is that I have hemiplegic cerebral palsy, which is a brain injury at or prior to birth.
They find the biggest barriers are often people's assumptions about their relationship.
Well, people sometimes assume that Trevor's my carer, and I think they get a bit confused when they have to work out who they should talk to, and because we've both got a disability, and there's a bit of a tendency to be afraid or something of talking to people with disability. And so because he's standing up and I'm sitting down, they will sometimes talk to him in preference to me. We had a woman one day, we were at Wayne Canberra, and she told him off for not dressing me properly because it was a hot day and she thought my skirt was too thick. And she told him off and she persisted. We kept trying to make her go away. And she kept saying, no, no, it's too thick. The material's too thick. You have to put something light on her. In the end, I got angry with her and said, I'm an adult. I dress myself. I choose my own clothes. Thank you. And we sort of went off in another direction.
Other barriers they face as a couple are due to physical access and social discrimination.
Society, in a way, is set up to discriminate against you if you've got any sort of disability, but if you've got a physical disability, the built environment is set up to discriminate against you. And, I mean, it's improved a lot, but it's still, you know, the whole tram system, for example, won't be totally accessible till 2030. So sometimes, I guess this is as a couple, Trevor has to, because I can't get on the tram around here, there's no tram stop I can use. Trevor goes on the tram and I go on the train because I can use the train and he has to walk further. It's harder for him to walk further. Tram stops closer, so he catches the tram, but I can't get on the tram.
It's quite common for people with disabilities to experience forms of social discrimination, in as much as people don't go out of their way to include you in their social groups because they don't want to go to the effort of reorganising their appointments to an accessible venue. Like, if they want to go and drink at the local pub, you might be left out because the local pub isn't accessible. Mm. And they can't be bothered to reorganise themselves to an accessible venue. I had a friend recently who's having a party to celebrate her birthday in her new flat. Her new flat's not accessible. So they're forms of discrimination.
But it's comforting to have the shared experience of disability, to be able to reflect on and laugh off the barriers they both face in society.
I think because we've got this shared experience of what it's like to have a disability, we also see the absurdity of it. You know, we kind of deal with it through absurdity sometimes. You know, for me, having acquired a disability, after I acquired it, I had a lot of crisis of confidence about whether I would be attractive to anybody and whether I'd ever have a partner again. And so I think in a way I feel a bit more comfortable with somebody who understands not being physically perfect, and Trevor's very accepting of all my imperfections.
Do you think that you, like, were, you know, when you project who you want to be with and who you see yourself with, were you projecting that you wanted to be with somebody that had a disability and that understood you?
No, but I did have the thought that maybe someone who did have a disability would be more accepting. But look, that's not necessarily true either, because I know there's a lot of guys with a spinal cord injury who are looking around for, you know, some beautiful non-disabled person.
People don't necessarily want to live through a category. And so all deaf people don't want to partner up with all other deaf people necessarily, and all people with cerebral palsy don't want to partner up with other people with cerebral palsy and, you know, self-identify. But if you can connect with a person, then it doesn't matter if they have a disability or not. You're connecting with that person necessarily. So it's not like you're looking out for a type.
Janice and Trevor feel that society needs to recognise people with disabilities as sexual beings.
And it's been a no-no for a long time to think about people with disability having sex. And, you know, when people were in institutions, they were kept apart and not allowed to have sex or have a relationship.
It's the distancing of creating people with disabilities as the other. And so for the neurotypical or otherwise able-bodied person, they're allowed to have a sex life and they're allowed to do whatever, make choices, and it's creating people with disabilities as a separate category. And people with disabilities just want to be people. That's the hidden secret.
Trevor Dunn there, a man with cerebral palsy, speaking with his partner Janice Florence, and before them Ricky Anya and her partner Michael McNeil. That was the final episode in the series created by Eliza Hull on disability and relationships. And if you missed any of the episodes in the series, do head to our website to check out the rest. They make a wonderful tapestry if you can hear all three. You're listening to Life Matters on RN.